resolve the issue first, and you have got also K lines running by Maulana Isa in your area, the West Street Imam, he also handles these cases. However, the grounds where she can appeal for divorce are maintenance. If the husband is not financially supporting her, if the husband is not monetarily giving her sufficient money to maintain her household, or for her children, or for her maintenance basic necessities. This will depend on the woman herself. If she is a particular category, then the maintenance has to be of that particular category. She cannot be staying in level 1 and asking for level 10 maintenance. Yes, if she is in level 5, then she must ask for level 5 maintenance. Secondly is physical abuse. If the husband is hitting her, beating her, and striking her un-Islamically, then definitely, especially when he is leaving marks on her, she can appeal for dissolution of marriage, and she can call for that. Also, ulama nowadays are saying that mental traumatization of the woman, of the female, can also be a ground for seeking divorce. Thirdly, if the husband becomes insane or basically loses sanity and he does not know what he is doing, when he is doing. Fourthly, if the husband has become impotent, then the court will rule for medical treatment, etc., and give time for reconciliation. Fifthly, if the husband, out of sheer negligence, and he is not satisfying the basic bedroom necessities of the females, that she can call for a fasakh, a dissolution of marriage. So basically those 5-6 reasons allow the woman to call for annulment of the marriage.
Jazakallah Hazrat Mufti Sahib for responding to that question. The next SMS that we had received, which reads as follows, that I would like to know, why is it that whenever I get a proposal and when I finally accept, after a few months it tends to break off? What could be the cause of this? Is it perhaps taqdeer? And Mufti Sahib, on this question, we have received many questions pertaining to taqdeer also.
Yeah, as far as there are two issues here in this question. One is concerning the marriage and one is taqdeer. Now, as far as the marriage is concerned, then the female in question, she should constantly make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever is best for her should take place. Sometimes we as human beings, we think something is good for us. Meanwhile, this is not the case. In fact, it is the reverse, that if it happens in our so-called favor, it may be detrimental to our spiritual being, in our financial standing, in our social position, it may ruin us. But we, because we do not understand the wisdom and secrets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are short-sighted and we do not realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the final judge, He has the final say. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows what He is doing. No one can question Him, He is above question. So, she should constantly make istighfar, read istighfar, recite istighfar after every salat, and also the dua hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. That dua 100 times after every salat, ulama have written that it will remove depression, anxiety, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy. Also, recitation of La Hawla Wa La Quwwata, also Til Azim, makes it very easy upon that person. Best ulama have stated, the more istighfar recited by the person standing, walking, moving around, then Allah will make it very easy. Second part of the question, it is a lengthy discussion, but the summary is very clear, that we have got various alams, realms. And one is the alam arwa, but the other is the realm of the souls. And before that, there was the non-existence. then we came into the realm of the mother's womb, and from there into the dunya, going towards the alam of barzakh, the alam of the grave, going towards the alam of akhirat, comprising of jannat, jahannam, and araf. Now, there is another alam which people do not generally hear of. Shah Waliullah Dehlvi Rahmatullah Alayh has written about this alam in Hujjatullah al-Baligha, and Allama Sayyid Palampuri, Damat Barakatuhum, he has written a commentary, Rahmatullah al-Wasiya, explaining. And this alam is called the alam e misal. The alam e misal is the realm of similitudes and the realm of likes. And it is like a shadowy alam. Now in this alam, taqdeer changes. But in the alam of the Lawh-e Mahfuz, that alam where Rasulullah went to the Miraj and he was allowed to listen to the pen's writing and informed by Jibreel alayhi salam that this is where taqdeer has been written. And now the statement is famous that the pen has lifted, the ink has dried. So whatever is in the alam a Lawh-e Mahfuz, the protected tablet, that taqdeer cannot be changed. So when we talk of all the ahadiths relating to dua changes taqdeer, it doesn't change it in the protected tablet. That is the final say. That is, has been written and cannot be changed. Where it changes is in the alam e misal, in the alam e of similitudes. So people generally get confused and do not understand the dynamics of the difficulty of taqdeer. Also, taqdeer, we cannot fully understand it because we are in a different world. We are in the alam of dunya and trying to understand what happened in some other alam, that is the alam of arwa or the alam of Lawh-e Mahfuz or the alam of misal. If you tell a person that add 2 rand plus 2 pounds plus $2, he cannot do so. Why? Because the currencies are not the same. He has to bring everything to a common denominator, common currency. All rands or all pounds or all dollars, then he can understand it. Then he can multiply, divide, calculate with it. Now we are in this alam and trying to understand what has happened in another alam. That is why the difficulty is coming about in understanding this. When we come on par with the same alam, like we have difficulty in understanding the alam of barzakh, the realm of the grave, when we reach there, then we'll understand it.
Jazakallah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, 7:31. This is Make Up Your Mind Q&A session. This evening's program is brought to you by Willowton Oil and Cake Mills. Right now we have online our scholar of Sharia, also an author of couple of hundred books, and that is Hazrat Maulana Mufti Afzal Hussain Ilyas Sahib, Hafizahullah. I'm not going to ask you to call in with your questions or SMS your questions right now because we still have over 50 that have not as yet been answered, inshallah. We're going to see how far we're going this evening with the questions, and then perhaps we will announce once we are coming to a close with the questions. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the next SMS that we had received reads as follows. It says, if two individuals are going for Hajj and they have broken all ties and communication with their daughter, meaning no communication, only ill feelings, will their Hajj be accepted? Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
See, the people involved, that first of all, Shariat is talking about that we should not severe blood relationship. And we should have Sila Rahmi and maintain and upkeep blood relationship. However, that at times, one need not necessarily break the relationship, but keep a distance because of some difficulty, problems. See, there are brothers and sisters, and there are uncles and aunties, nephews and nieces. Now with them, you should maintain blood relationship, good ties. But this does not mean that they should be sitting on your left and they should be sitting on your head and you on their laps. No, it means you should be greeting them, talking to them, and whenever you meet them, have a good word with them. And if they are in very great difficulty, try to help them if you are a person of means. And it does not mean that every time you have one small function you have to call them, or a big function you have to call them, or it does not mean that every time you make a major move you have to inform them. This does not mean severing relationship. Yes, if they try to harm you or injure you in some way or the other, then in the light of Sharia, that you can stay away from them. Even your close relatives, if in their homes un-Islamic activity is taking place and haram activity is taking place, then in the light of Sharia, if you do not go to those places, then you are not accountable for that. Yes, if there is no ground and you purposefully, willfully, voluntarily, out of sheer malice, hatred, jealousy, want to sever relationship, that is what Islam is against. Yeah, it is advisable. I do not know the circumstances why they do not want to meet their sister. When we know the circumstances, we can talk around it. However, the specifics we do not know. We advise that if there is no major difficulty, and we presume these days, unfortunately, difficulties, disputes, fights, and quarrels are over silly, petty issues. So they should resolve the issues, get some respectable ulama involved, get some elderly folk involved, and then, inshallah, come to some solution, meet, then greet, forgive each other, and proceed for Hajj. That will be the best course of action.
JazakAllah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. The next question that we have, this brother is from Durban. He is going for 6 weeks to London. He wanted to know with regard to his salah once he reaches London, with regard to the salah of a musafir. Perhaps if Mufti Sahib could enlighten us on that.
In transit, this person will be a musafir. In transit, that means when he's leaving from Durban to London. Now, in London, in UK, if he is staying in one place, if he's staying in one place for 15 or more days, then he will be a muqeem, meaning that he will make and perform and render full salah. But, for example, if he is going now, and he is going on a holiday or tour, or he is going to visit relatives who are here, there, and everywhere in UK, and he is not going to stay in one particular town, city, or village for 15 or more days, then he will be musafir throughout his entire journey. So he has to assess, is he going to be staying in one place for 15 or more days? If he is going to stay in a place for 15 or more days, then he is a muqeem, he must make full salah, that is the faraiz, and inshallah complete his wajibat and sunnah. Now if he is a musafir, if he is not going to stay for 15 or more days in an area, in a town, village, or city, then he will make qasr. That means every farz salat of four, he is going to make two. He will make his witr complete. And inshallah, if time permits, he should not waste time and complete his sunnat as well. He should not willfully discard his sunnat salat while he is on journey.
JazakAllah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, for enlightening us on that question. Right now, it looks like we do have a caller online. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, is Hazrat Mufti Sahib there?
Yes.
JazakAllah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, we do have a caller online. I think we're taking that call right now. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam.
Brother, go ahead with your question. Hazrat Mufti Sahib is listening to you.
Mufti, my question to you is that if I did get divorced, right? And I want to know whether I can remarry my wife.
Okay, that's your question, brother.
Okay. Because I was told, I asked someone this question, and what they told me was, I'm not allowed to get married. My wife needs to get married again to someone else, then I'll be able to marry her.
Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
How many divorces did you give?
How many divorces did you give? How many times did you...
How many times you said divorce?
Mufti Sahib, according to the information that's coming up right here, it says 3 times.
Okay, I'll answer, inshallah.
Okay, inshallah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib will answer that question. JazakAllah, brother, for calling in. Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
This is very simple, because according to all four schools of thought, Hanafi, Shafi, Malikiya, Hanabila, that the three talaqs issued, even if it is done in one sitting, then it equals three. On our website, alislam.co.za, there is a kitab, Three Talaqs in One Session, which is, we have translated a book by Hazrat Sayyid Mufti Abdul Jalil Sahib, who is the Sheikh al-Hadith of Talimuddin Ispingo, and where it is proven that three talaqs, even in one sitting, equals three. Now, the fatwa that the brother is talking about is correct. Yes, his ex-wife now has to sit in Iddah. She will sit for three menstruation periods, at the end of which she is free to marry whomsoever she wants to. Then, after marriage of someone else other than her ex-husband, after consuming that marriage, having a relationship, then, without any pre-planned action, that person divorces her, she sits in iddat again, and then she can remarry her first husband.
JazakAllah for that, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Moving on to the next SMS that we had received, it reads as follows. When a couple is married and the wife denounces Islam, is the nikah broken? Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
This is very important. And unfortunately, yeah, the wife has denounced Islam and become a murtad, and we know about it, or we have been informed about it. In an Islamic country, a person who leaves Islam willfully, purposefully, is wajibul qatl, meaning it is compulsory to execute that person. Now, yeah, once she, in fact, even if it is he, if either one of the spouses, the husband or the wife, and in the case, yeah, the wife, leaves the fold of Islam, then automatically, no sooner the minute the person leaves the fold of Islam, then various laws come into action. Number one, the marriage tie breaks immediately, automatically. Secondly, there is no case of inheritance now. Thirdly, that there is no case of maintenance. Fourthly, that there is no case of burial, kafan, dafan, in a Muslim graveyard. Obviously, Salat al-Janaza is also out.
JazakAllah for that response, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Moving on to our next question. This person wants to know, is Hazrat Khidr alayhi salam alive presently? Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
Concerning Hazrat Khidr, first of all, there is a discussion whether he's a Nabi or not a Nabi. That's one discussion. Secondly, that whether he is alive or not. Third discussion rotates around whether Hazrat Khidr is one person or many people. Fourth discussion rotates around that is Hazrat Khidr a title or not? And the other one is that is it a spiritual position? Now these days we have many titles being given around for sainthood, and those who are involved in tasawwuf, etc., they have got many subtitles and levels in tasawwuf. Now, the preferred opinion I will express to avoid discussion, deliberation, and discourse and confusion, most of the ulama say that Khidr is a maqam, a status, a position, a level. And because it is a status and a position, then it means when one person who occupied that position passes away, then by the will and will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another takes his position. That is why if we hold this view that it is a status, a position, a maqam, then those stories even written in by Hazrat Sheikh Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayh, will be able to make the beak of it, collaborate it, and everyone will make sense.
JazakAllah for that. That was question number 7. Moving on to question number 8. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, can one sit and read Nafil Salah? Example, the last Nafil of Zuhr, Maghrib and Isha Salah.
If a person does so, then he will get half the reward. And as far as the Nawafil Salat of the Isha Salat, then there is a discussion. And this discussion I have made in one of my books called Tarawih in Detail. In the last pages of that book, I have made a discussion on this issue about after Tarawih Salat and after Witr Salat, and now the performance of the two Nafil. Should it be done standing or sitting? There we have expressed the views of the elders, stating that if it is done sitting with the intention of imitating Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he should do so because of the long and lengthy ibadat that he should make, and as a result he was now getting exhausted, so he should relax and he should make it sitting. If you do that with that intention, then you will get full sawab for that only rakats after the Isha. That is also particular to the Ramadan. But in other, outside Ramadan, all the Nawafil that you do sitting, you will get half the sawab.
Shukran Hazrat Mufti Sahib. 7:48, this evening's Make Up Your Mind program is brought to you by Willerton Oil and Cake Mills. Moving on to question number 9. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, I think the sister says that respected Mufti Sahib, what do we as women do when our husbands allow our daughters to dress up with no modesty and hijab? They can see the wrong, and they can see the wrong. I'm just trying to get into the next SMS and to take action. Please give lectures in all masjid. Salaam's anonymous sister. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, pertaining to this question of hijab and modesty, what can the sisters do where the husbands are not listening to them?
First of all, this is as a result of lack of education, number one. Secondly, that their husbands are not linked to some good, pious environment. They should be put into a good, pious, righteous environment, should go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah their lives will change. Also, that these wives, instead of focusing on their daughters at this stage because of the problem, they should focus on the cause of the problems, that their husbands, that is their husbands, and make sure that the husbands are regular with salat, with jamaat, and encourage them to perform salat, adorn the beard, and be regular, at least recite one ruku of Quran per day, then there will be some change. All un-Islamic activity in the home, television, music, intermingling of gender and sexes, all that should be terminated forthwith. And there should be performance of salat in the home, reading of Quran and recitation of Quran in the home. All that should take place, and inshallah you'll see automatically, when the husband begins to change, then it will be easy to explain to him that the daughters have to be dressing properly. Also, generally the pattern is the husbands give the wives the money to spend on the children. So if the wife has got the money and the purse, then she should buy Islamic clothing for them and not the clothing that is revealing the shapes and contours of the children, especially her daughters.
JazakAllah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Right now, we're moving on to our next SMS. Hazrat Mufti Sahib. JazakAllah. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, this SMS reads as follows. My husband gave me talaq 3 times. I am in iddat, and he doesn't want to move out of the home. He has written over 10 times the talaq. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, your response to this SMS.
First of all, as I've explained previously, I would not go into the details. That talaq is valid. And here, to make matters worse, from one angle, that he's written it 10 times, although 7 other times is futile and vain, does not matter. Because unfortunately, after three times, that is talaq mughallaza, the talaq has taken effect completely, the marriage has broken down severely. Now, I do not know why he is not moving out of the home. Perhaps that may be his house, or that is his house, and he wants the ex-wife to spend the iddat there, then she must leave the home. So in this case here, I would advise her, pick up the phone and phone the care line, help line, phone the Jamiat to come and intervene and to assess the situation. I do not know the dynamics of the case. As a result, I cannot comment in detail.
JazakAllah, Hazrat Mufti Sahab. Right now, we've also received quite a few SMSs to our listeners. This is not a program to interpret your dreams. That's going to be on another day with Maulana Ismail Patel Sahib on interpretation of dreams. This is a Q&A session pertaining to questions relating to Sharia, whether it's relating to fiqh, salah, whatever it may be. With regard to interpretation of dreams, that's going to be on another day. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the next SMS that has just come in, can a jinnat or any spirit, if you disturb them, kill you? And this is a very common question that has been coming in recently with regard to jinn. Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
As far as this question and the concept of jinnat, we as Muslims believe in jinnat. And it is part and parcel of imaniyat and zururiyat deen that we believe in jinnat and the existence of jinnat, and they have been created from fire. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see and read in the seerah that there is a masjid, a jinn, in Makkah al-Mukarramah, in the Gaza area. And it is near Masjid al-Raya. And it is past the Chapra market, etc. You can come to that Masjid al-Raya first, then Masjid al-Jinn, then Jannat al-Ma'la. And there, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala, who was made to sit, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew a circle around him, according to one narration, and lined, and told him not to go past that. And that is when Hazrat Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu ta'ala, who saw the jinnat go by to meet Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who resolved a particular issue there, and he gave the dawah to Islam. Lengthy discussion it is. However, that now the ulama are saying that actually the jinnat does not come into the person per se, but just like the heater, if a person is standing near the heater and he's feeling the heat of the heater, and the heater is not in him, but the rays of the heater and the heat of the heater is coming into that person, then Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi, etc., say that just like that, the heat of the heater rays gets onto the person, the jinnat casts or throws its influence, its heat, onto the person, affecting the person. Yes, eventually it could lead to an ailment, and that ailment could eventually cause that person to pass away. But generally, the jinnat will not directly come to a person and kill a person. That is not the normal pattern of life.
Shukran, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Moving on to question number 12 for this evening. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, is it necessary to make niyyah before reading salah?
First of all, we should understand what is the meaning of niyyah. Niyyah is milal al-qalb, that inclination of the heart. It does not mean verbal, that I am standing behind this imam, and this imam is facing Qibla, and this imam is in this particular masjid, and this masjid is in a particular street, and the masjid's name is this, and the imam's name is this, and the imam is quite a big size fellow. We don't have to say all those things. The mere fact that it is Maghrib time, or it is Isha time, or Fajr time, and a person left the home, obviously going to the masjid, he's going to perform Maghrib, he's going to perform Isha. He's not going Maghrib time to perform Fajr. He's not going Zuhr time to perform Isha. So the mere fact that he is proceeding Zuhr time, he's going to perform Zuhr Salah. So by moving in that direction, that is intention, that is already a niyya on its own. So you do not have to make verbal intention. Yes, if you do it, that's good. That's mustahab. That's nice. That is light. That is desirable. But not for us.
Jazakallah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. 759, question number 14. It is question number 13. If you earn interest on investments, can you give that interest for zakat or lillah instead of not getting interest at all? Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
I'm so sad to hear that they ought to give interest as lillah, and they ought to give interest as sadaqah, or they ought to give interest as zakat. That is absolutely disgusting. That interest is what we call wajibut tasadduq, that it is compulsory to distribute that. That due to our political situation and crime rate, a person generally will not keep the money, cash flow at home, and they will keep it in the bank. They are forced to do so. Now, because of that, some interest is incurred. Now, that interest that is incurred and got should be given out to the poor, destitute, needy, Muslim or non-Muslim, without the intention of earning reward. Although some of the Arab ulama are saying that you will get a reward for fulfilling the right of that interest by giving it away as a necessity.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. The next question, was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam born an orphan, and what was his lifespan, 23 years or 63 years? This comes from Brother Hassan Sheikh in Pietermaritzburg. Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
I made a lengthy discussion on this in one of my programs on Radio Islam, and so they should try to get those tapes, where I've discussed what a Muslim should believe about Anbiya alayhi salam with special reference to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There are 42 tapes in all, and each one is about 20 to 25 minutes. There I've discussed what we call the definition of Rasul and the definition of Nabi, and also the differentiation, and also one basic akidah that a Nabi is born a Nabi. A Rasul is born a Rasul. And a Nabi is born a Muwahid, believing Allah is one. And a Rasul is also born a Muwahid, believing Allah is one. A Nabi or a Rasul does not, after investigation or observation, deduce or come to the conclusion that Allah is one. He is born a Nabi and born believing that Allah is one. So, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he lived for 63 years, and entire duration on the surface of the earth, he is the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no dispute about that.
Shukran, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. 2 minutes past eight, and yes, alhamdulillah, we do have quite a bit of time still for our Q&A session. Moving on with our next SMS. This SMS reads as follows. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, it says that someone said to me, if I eat food that is makruh more than 40 times, then I'm eating haram. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, could you perhaps clarify this issue for us?
The person who stated that, I think he's got some funny calculator in his hand, because I have not come across this strange calculation that if a person does an action which is makruh 40 times, then it becomes haram. That means 40 makruh equals 1 haram. There is no such shari calculation or jurisprudic equation like that. Now, here what we have to watch, that is this action makruh tanzihi, small makruh, or tahrimi, big makruh? And is this in reality a makruh or not? And if it is tanzihi, then it is minor sin. And if it is tahrimi, then it is major. Then the minor, if it is done regularly, then that tantamounts to a major. So the person, perhaps he's putting some superficial calculation like 40. In reality, what is the right masla is, if you do a minor sin, if you perform or enact a minor sin regularly, constantly, then that becomes a major sin.
Shukran Hazrat Mufti Sahab. The next SMS. Often when I visit Makkah or Medina, people tell me to perform namaz and tawaf for them. Is this permissible, Hazrat Mufti Sahab?
See, as far as performing tawaf, this concept is called isale sawab. To perform a voluntary action or an option action and confer the sawab onto another person. Number one, there are a few laws attached to this. Firstly, that Isa alayhi sawab can be performed for the living and the dead. People are under the impression that this can only be done for the dead only. It can be done for the living as well. Secondly, it cannot be done with a farz or wajib action. Whether it is farz, a mu'ayyan or kifaya, or wajib, a mu'ayyan or ghair mu'ayyan, it has to be done with a nafil action, optional action, and voluntary action. And it cannot be done via a vow or a pledge, which will come under nazar, and it will come a wajib nazar. So it has to be done under the nafil, the optional. Now the optional can be monetary or not monetary. That a person gives charity, and then says, Ya Allah, the charity I have given, and this charity obviously cannot be zakat, or it cannot be sadqatul fitr. So this charity can be not wajib sadqa also, but it can be nafil lillah. So he says, Ya Allah, I've given this nafil lillah, give the sawab to my father, mother, or whoever he stipulates. Similarly, two rakats nafil salah, then nafil salah, and then pass the sawab to someone. Discussion, he rotates around another point too. Should the niyat be made before the nafil tawaf, or nafil salah, or nafil Quran tilawat, or nafil monetary, or after? Both views are permissible. That you can do make the niyat before and after performing the tawaf. Ya Allah, I perform the tawaf, nafil tawaf, Ya Allah, confer this tawaf onto so and so. So, yes, you can go to Medina, Makkah, and perform tawaf in Makkah, and nafil, pass the sawab, confer the sawab to someone else. In Medina, obviously, reciting Quran, or Durood Sharif, or Askar, or nafil salat, and pass the sawab to someone else.
6 minutes past eight, we do have a caller online. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Mufti Sahab?
Yes, brother, go ahead. Mufti Sahab is listening to you.
Yes. I'd like to know that if a male or a husband in an Islamic marriage is entitled to give talaq, does the woman have the same prerogative or the any other grounds in any other procedure that can be followed, so that she can be granted a divorce from her husband for some reason or the other in which she finds that he is not playing his role as what you might call a proper Muslim, or on any other grounds that Mufti Sahab can explain to us. Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, with that brother's question, and I've received a few SMSs also on the talaq issue again, but I think Hazrat Mufti Sahab has already spoken on that. Perhaps Mufti Sahab wants to comment on that again. Or can we move on, Mufti Sahab?
No, the brother alluded to one point which I'd like to explain. That, you see, we do know, and most Muslims know, that the man, the Muslim, is entitled to issue the talaq. Now, the recourse for the female, I have explained in detail, if she wants to apply for fasakh. And the other way is, prior to the nikah, because remember, the nikah is a act, is a contract. Just like we have business contracts, the nikah is a contract. And she can ask her husband, her future husband, and this can be drawn legally, shari legally, to allow her to cede one or two talaqs to her. So she will become technical shari owner of that one or two talaqs, and by which he can secure her right. In this case, it can be applied especially if the husband is going to be one in the future potential to give trouble. So the wife can take one talaq and having it ceded from the husband's side to her. Perhaps that caller was trying to allude to that.
Jazakallah, Hazrat Mufti Sahab. 13 minutes past 8. We do have a caller online. We have Sister Fatima online. Sister Fatima, assalamu alaikum.
Barakatuhu.
Sister Fatima, go ahead with your question.
Ji, mera sawal hai puchne ka Maulana se ki jin jo aurat ke saath jin rehta hai, yani aurat bhi hoti hai ya mard bhi hoti hai? Kisi ka par jin hota hai, kehte hai.
Acha, Hazrat Mufti Sahab ne sun liya. Hazrat Mufti Sahab. Jazakallah, Sister Fatima.
Ji.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Fatima.
Wa alaikum salam.
Hazrat Mufti Sahab. Wo sawal ke jawab?
Jinnat can be both. Both can be male, female. So young, old, Muslim, non-Muslim, obedient, disobedient.
Jazakallah, Sister Fatima. Wo jawab aapke sawal
ke? Maine suna nahi, Maulana bahut aahiste se bolte hain. Radio talk kiya hai maine.
Acha, ab aapke radio ko on kar sakte hain, Mufti Sahab. Inshallah, hum request karenge, Hazrat Mufti Sahab. Perhaps if you could respond to that sister again.
Jinnat, they can be of two types, male, female, Muslim, non-Muslim, young, old, obedient, disobedient. So we got all categories.
Achha, Sister Fatima, wo jawab aapke sawal ke liye hai. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, a concerned sister has sent us an SMS. She wants to know, what can the wife do when a husband and sons refuse to read Salah? Also a very common question that has come in. Hazrat Mufti Sahab?
The wife, first of all, she must increase Salat performance in her own house. This is a very simple formula, that she must increase Salat performance and she must be very regular in her performance, whether she is at home or whether she is in journey. She must be very, very steadfast and regular in performing first her own salah. Secondly, why? Because the onlookers, the husband and the son, they must come to realize that what's going on here? Why she's making so much of salah? Because they do not understand the sweetness of salah, the significance of salah, and the value of salah. That is why they're not performing it. Any person who understands the sweetness of salah and the enjoyment of salah and how much of pleasure you get in performing salah won't miss the salah. So, a person not performing salah is actually deprived of the sweetness of iman. Now, the lady should be regular, constant, and increased. Also, constantly make dua for them. And make some kitab reading in the home, an environment where she can explain the virtues of salah in the house. 2-3 minutes, not half an hour, not 15 minutes, just 3-4 minutes daily, one hadith explaining how virtuous and how rewarding and beneficial salat performance is, and with dua and regularity, inshallah, they will come to the direction of salat.
Inshallah. 16 minutes past 8, I think we have some extended time. Moving on to our next SMS, I think we've covered over 16 questions this evening. I think we'll take that caller first. We have Mrs. Hussein online. Mrs. Hussein, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Mrs. Hussein, go ahead with your question.
Okay, could Mufti please explain how one can convert a female to Islam? Also, the salah, does she just reach 2 rakat nafil, or is there any specific niyyah for the salah? I will listen on the air.
Okay. Jazakallah, Sister. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, they want to know, how can you convert someone into Islam?
Well, second one.
And she wanted to know if there is a practice where you read 2 rakat salah.
For what?
For that conversion.
Okay.
See,
this is an important question. And I will say a few words about
it. Inshallah.
First of all, no sooner a person wants to accept Islam, then you do not have to say the person, listen, go take a bath first. Generally, we are under the impression that if a person wants to accept Islam, then you say, go take a bath first, become pure first, and then come back. And then you want to make the person male or female Muslim. the conversion method for male or female is same, which is as soon as a person, male or female, young or old, expresses a desire to become a Muslim, immediately you make that person a Muslim. You do not have to say to the person, wait, Isha time there is big congregation, now we'll make one boom dam affair and make you a Muslim. No such thing. Fuqaha, jurisconsults have written, and they've written one masala which we should hear carefully. They say that if the khatib, that means the one delivering the sermon on Friday, he, whilst delivering the sermon, some person walks into the masjid and addresses the khatib and tells the khatib, oh khatib, I want to become a Muslim. And the khatib says that later, let me finish my khutbah. Let me finish my khutbah, I will make you a Muslim. Fuqaha have written that there is a possibility that the khatib will pass away without iman. The khatib, not the person who asks, he wants to become Muslim. Mufti Mahmud Rahmatullah Alayhi Kangoi, he stated that as soon as a person wants to become a Muslim, make him or her Muslim immediately, forthwith. And he quoted the ayat, La yukallahu nafsan illa wusaha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give a soul a burden a person cannot carry. That person has been carrying the burden and the load of kufr and un-Islamic ideology and belief. Now that person wants to shut it off, wants to throw it off and become a Muslim. So help that person quickly to take off this load of darkness and kufr and zalalat, so that the person can be relieved, enter into light, enter into peace and tranquility, enter into Islam and the road towards Jannah and pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it should be done quickly, forthwith.
JazakAllah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib, 20 minutes past 8. This is Make Up Your Mind Q&A session. This program is brought to you by Willerton Oil and Cake Mills. Our next Q&A session is going to be, inshallah, on Thursday evening from 7:15 p.m. again. Right now, we are going to be taking one more call and then it's a commercial break, and inshallah, hopefully, we should be able to continue a little longer. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Brother, go ahead with your question.
I would like to ask Mufti Sahib a question, that where we get this, the saying that where females, they get certain saya on them. I want to know whether if it's true that these women folk get like certain hazrats on them and certain sayas on them.
Okay, thank you, brother, for your question.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Is it Mufti Sahib?
Can you repeat that question, Afsan?
He says that certain females have a saya on them, and he wants to know where does that saya actually come from. Certain hazrats come on them. That was the brother's question.
Okay, he's talking of something about amaliyat. Amaliyat is a science of its own. Amaliyat, when I talk about amaliyat, I mean that you're talking of tawizat, you're talking of jinnat, you're talking of jadu, you're talking of nazar, you're talking of burning, and you're talking of the what you call burning of wicks in the oil, and you're talking of throwing water here, there, and everywhere. Now, in that science, there is something where, you must remember, jinnat have got classifications, as I've mentioned, and you have various levels of jinnat. You have various types of jinnat. And one of these types, which is commonly known, which they call, is, for example, hazrat or hazrat, and which comes onto the person, and this is done by recitation of certain formulas and formulations. And then that person gets into a frenzy and a trance because of that particular type of jinnat coming onto that person. As far as whether it is permissible or not, that depends on the user of that particular type of jinnat, and whether they are using it for legal ends or illegal shari ends. Yes, it is possible. We have seen it done. We have even seen people getting into the trance. But what has happened, that unfortunately, that these days, the people who issue tawizes and these people who do this business of issuing tawizes and they are going to the science of jinnat and jadu, most of them are transgressors. Most of them are evildoers. Most of them are professional con artists. Most of them are thugs. Most of them are there to rip off the money of the poor and illiterate, ignorant Muslims. And unfortunately, the female Muslim is prone and vulnerable to these professional thugs. And they go to the homes of these amils, and they go there alone without their mahrams even, and they are touched and molested and used badly by the amils, and out of embarrassment and shyness, they cannot even tell the public. Our policy is that recite and protect yourself, and read the manzil, protect yourself, do the correct thing, stay in wuzu, read your ayat al-kursi, read your muazzatain, and do not indulge and do not dare to go into this field that you think there is something wrong with you. Once you think there is something wrong with you, then unfortunately it's going to become wahm. And wahm, imagination, there is no ilaj for that.
JazakAllah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. We do have, I think this is the last caller online that we are taking right now. Assalamu alaikum. I think we have lost that call. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, the next SMS is as follows. Can a wife call her husband dad, or the husband call the wife mother? This is common in families as a way of calling the spouses. Hazrat Mufti Sahib? Well, 24 minutes past 8. It looks like we have lost Mufti Sahib online again. I'm not too sure. Hafiz Muhammad Jinnah seems to be very excited this evening. Anyway, Altaf is trying to get Mufti Sahib online again. Our next Q&A session is going to be on Thursday, inshallah, this Thursday from 7:15 right up to about 8:30, hopefully, inshallah. That's going to be this coming Thursday. Don't forget, I'm going to be back with you tomorrow morning from 6 a.m. after Fajr with our scholar, Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Ismail Fatil Sahib, who is going to be continuing his discourse on Siratul Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam around 6:27, around 6:30 tomorrow morning. It's going to be the last live telephonic link-up with the Imam of Masjid al-Taqwa, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Zubair Bayat Sahib. And tomorrow it's Tuesday, so it's going to be the international news, and we will try to link up with the Imam of the West Street Masjid in the city of Durban. Right now, I think we do have that sister online also. Assalamu alaikum.
Waalaikumsalam.
Sister, go ahead with your question, but I can't hear you very clearly right now. Can you go ahead?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you, sister. Go ahead.
Okay. Brother, I'm married for 18 and a half years. And I'm living with a man that doesn't trust me at all.
Sister, even I think you need to call back because the line is not clear at all. Perhaps if you could call back or if you could SMS. And sorry, sister, can you please remain online? We're just trying to clear that line up. 26 minutes past 8. We just have a few more minutes to go into the special announcements or the community announcements. This is Make Up Your Mind Q&A session, which is brought to you by Willowton Oil and Cake Mills. Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
Yes. JazakAllah. The last question, what was it?
Actually, Mufti Sahib, I even forgot that question because we just lost you.
Because today you got perhaps a trainee technician.
Yeah, actually, Hafiz Jinnah is very excited that you are our guest, so he has been with us for some time, but I think there's so many calls coming in, so he pressed the wrong button. Mufti Sahib, as soon as I recall, we'll go back to that. I think I was reading to Mufti Sahib the SMS. Can a wife call her husband dad?
Yes, that's a question. Yes.
Or the husband call the wife mother? This is common in families as a way of calling the spouses. Hazrat Mufti Sahib?
There is a legal terminology called urf. Urf means common usage. Because of urf, that will be permissible and it will not tantamount to zihar. Zihar is when the husband tells his wife that you are like the back of my mother. And the calling mom and dad, etc., that will not tantamount to any divorce. However, it is not desirable.
Jazakallah, Hazrat Mufti Sahab. The next question, we have someone that's come to the studio to ask this question directly. Brother, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Your question for Hazrat Mufti Sahab?
Okay, Mufti. There is this lady, right? She's married to her husband for 18 and a half years. But her husband doesn't trust her at all with his belongings, his money, nothing. She wants to know what must she do.
Okay.
Can she divorce him? That's what she wants to know.
Is he ill-treated?
Yes.
How is he ill-treated?
She didn't explain, but she just said no, that the main thing is, but he doesn't trust her.
Now,
mistrust.
Because of mistrust, then she will have to go, as I told you in previous answers, that she will go to the Jamiat or she will go to the K-Line, and she can contact Maulana Isa, the Imam of West Street, present the case there, because this she will have to prove in detail what this mistrust and distrust is eventually leading to. Is it leading to physical abuse, mental torture? Is she getting traumatized? Is he funding her monetarily? Is he depriving her? All those things have to be taken into consideration. To unilaterally say because he is not trusting her with the funds and she can apply for divorce, that is not logical.
Jazakallah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, once again, we'd like to thank you very, very much, Jazakallah, for making your contribution, for being online, for sacrificing your time, for your commitment, and for your dedication. And inshallah, we still have many more questions. I think perhaps we've just answered about 20. We've taken a few calls in between, but the SMSs are still coming in. Mufti Sahib, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, give you the strength to continue with the work that you are doing, and inshallah, wishing Hazrat Mufti Sahib the very best till we speak again on Thursday evening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.